Did you call bank? I called game.
Welcome to Calling Bank. We are back with another big episode. We're in the playoffs, which is very exciting, and we have Luke joining us as our special guest.
Just also slightly less exciting.
Regular content.
Luke Longley, it's a pleasure as always.
As always, good to see you on the Last Dance documentary. Guys, first round of the playoffs has essentially played out more or less as we thought. I thought we could go through the East, the West, and of course the draft lottery happened just yesterday. We are recording this just before the Mavs and the Clippers are about to play. We do know that Philly just nearly won. They were so close, and then they really suck.
They are now 29-3 at home, Harry.
True.
Yeah, third loss at home.
Yeah, but this doesn't count as a home. So yeah. If you look at their away, they're what, 50-2?
They're 2-50.
That's what I mean. Yeah, yeah, they're really bad away. Let's start off with the East, because I think that's less exciting than the West. The West, at least we thought there'd be some matchups. Bucks and Magic. The thing that we never thought would happen, except it happened exactly the same last year,
yes,
was that the number one seed lost to the Magic.
Oh,
the
number
two seed.
Number two seed.
A team that shouldn't have lost to the Magic.
Won a game in the series.
And they also won the first game in the series.
In the first game. But in that game, it was a DJ Augustin three to win the game against Toronto. Whereas this game, it was just annihilation of the Bucks. They were just terrible. Vucevic was great, 35-14. Besides Giannis, who was like 30-17 or something ridiculous, everyone else was just so trash. Yeah. Just so bad. Will, you're about to say something.
I was about to say something. Hey, yeah. You know who has actually impressed me in this series?
Who?
Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
15 points in the first game. 11 points in the second game, but still
did you
contributing.
Follow him throughout the season?
I have followed. I'm a Markel Fultz fan.
He wasn't very good, but he was good for Orlando.
Look, as we can tell with this team, no Aaron Gordon at the moment due to injury. I think for them to even win that first game, and no Jonathan Isaac, which we said is their best defender, no Al-Farouq Aminu, who can defend, can't really do much else, but can defend, they've done quite well. Obviously, even winning one game was one of the biggest postseason shocks.
Yeah, it was the biggest one. Well, I think like that or the other eighth seed, no one thought that Blazers were going to win a game either. I was shocked.
We'll talk about that later, Harry.
But I think for me, I watched a bit of the game, the highlights rather, and I watched how the wall was made. So the way that Toronto did it, they had a wall and Giannis couldn't get through. Whereas like Magic are trying to do that. And they're like, oh no, he's coming. Everyone just split. Move out the way. Please let Giannis through. And he just takes like one big Euro step and he's like, I'll just dunk now.
That's actually what surprised me. If you just look at his like stretchy arm, he actually takes one step and then can just dunk over someone. You're like, well, how do you defend that?
Yeah.
You can't defend that. The only way you want to defend Giannis is just let him shoot threes and just hope.
I hope he doesn't go 3-for-4 like he did against the Lakers earlier this year.
That's right.
Obscene. Who's really impressed me in the Bucks though? I mean, he always impresses me because he's my boy. Brook Lopez. He was like, who did you think I was going to say?
I don't know, Dante DiVincenzo.
He's always good.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
Brook Lopez, he was like 8 of 12. He shot really well from the field. And he's just, I think he's a fantastic glue guy for that team. The second game made a lot more sense. Vucevic was still great, 32-10. But the rest of the Magic went 18-66 from the field, shooting 27% and 5 of 25 from 3. And that's what you expect from the Magic, realistically. Clifford's not doing anything. That's their coach, right?
Steve Clifford. I don't think he's done a good job. I mean, they made the playoffs 2 years in a row, and I don't see them getting past the 7th or 8th seed, which is exactly where they've ended up.
Perfect.
But also,
he's kind of met expectations, slightly surpassed
and
them.
And then it was trash. I think what surprised me is that they still won by 20 points, and we'll speak about this with the Lakers game as well, when Chris Middleton was 1 of 8 from the field. He was 2 points in the game.
Mm.
Yeah. 2 points, and they still won by 20 points.
Again, with Magic's outs at the moment, you expect the Bucks to probably win the next 3 games.
Yeah. So what's your predictions?
I've got 4-1.
Yeah, 4-1.
4-1.
I mean, we also probably said 4-0 at the start, but
we can't have nice
things.
Speaking of a sweep, Raptors and Nets. So, of course, the Nets are without most of their team for some reason. And we haven't spoken about this yet. They tried against the Blazers in the last game of the regular season.
It was a
nail biter. It was such a good game. Caris LeVert was one shot away from literally destroying the hopes and dreams of all Blazers fans.
That's right.
And now he's been trash. But their team's been... like, can someone please explain to me why they tried on that final...
Because
that
was their last
game?
Chance to win a game.
Yeah.
Well, like, do you think they had no chance of beating Toronto even in one game?
No, I don't really? Think so. No. Toronto's too good. Toronto's too good. I mean,
they're also without Joe Harris at the moment.
Well, this last game they were. The and I mean, to be honest with you, like the way that that game worked, I've never seen Tyler Johnson and Tim... I can't even barely say his
Timothy
name.
Timothy Luwalu-Cabarrot.
Correct.
TLC
hit so many shots and he's been so hot from deep that they had to revert to the mean, which they have against the Raptors. So, as a result, I mean, Tyler Johnson still scored 23 points
Tyler
today.
Tyler Johnson's he's still been good, except for that his attempt to, like, trip Marc Gasol. Aside from that, he's been pretty good.
But, like, in that Blazers game, Garrett Temple was good. You know, you had TLC was good, Caris LeVert was good, and Jared Allen was good, and also Tyler Johnson. But, I mean, in this game, the last game against the Raptors, TLC went 3 of 18.
Yeah.
Like, reversion to the mean.
Garrett Temple was 0 of 2.
No, 2 of 12.
Okay. But more importantly, Jared Allen.
0 from 0.
0 from 0. That's what you want from your centre over a very old Marc Gasol.
To be fair, he did get 17 rebounds, though.
Yeah, but then how does he not get any points?
He's the Dennis Rodman of today.
Exactly. Just passes it out. All he wants is rebounds.
Oh, so he had a triple-double with blocks, rebounds, and assists.
Exactly.
Look, Harry, only one block and one steal, but
one
still.
Block.
He tried. I think the Raptors are scary, to be honest. I think they're a really well-balanced team. If you don't have Fred VanVleet scoring 30 points, you have Lowry or Siakam or Serge Ibaka off the bench or Chris Boucher. You know, like, I feel like there's a lot of really good players on their team. They're really quite deep. I think they're a strong pick to really put up a fight against Milwaukee if they get there, which they probably will.
Oh, like, I mean, they'd be favourites for me to beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I think that would be a really good series, and
Celtics,
I think it would be
disrespect. It's massive.
I know, but like, they're deeper than the Celtics.
Yeah,
no,
and I think they match. And I think they if any team's going to match up well against the Celtics, it's going to be the Raptors.
Okay.
I mean, if we talk about wings, I mean, OJ Anunoby is a good defender.
Yeah, I think it's
Pascal. You got basically Pascal and OJ versus.
We're not here to pronounce names correctly today.
It's OJ Anunoby.
OJ Anunoby.
Are you trying to say Obi-Wan Kenobi?
That's what I'm doing.
Well, Obi-Wan Kenobi is going to be great with Pascal Siakam. So.
And then they're taking on Anakin Skywalker and Jason Tatum. So I'm looking forward to that mashup.
Wow,
the banter's flowing today.
Let's keep moving.
What are we predict for Nets and Raptors? Anything but a sweep?
4-0.
Yeah. Okay. Look, this is a series that I thought would actually be really good, which is the Celtics-Raptors.
Celtics-76ers.
That will be a good series.
They're currently 3-0 after just losing, squandering a one-point lead to the 76ers.
A huge advantage.
Hey, that's probably like the biggest lead they've had of the entire series.
We don't know that for sure.
No, we don't know that for sure.
I
think once Hayward went out, everyone was like, oh no, Celtics are going to lose. And they're just not. He's important. He's not that important. He's more important in the later rounds.
He'd definitely be nicer to have. But I don't think anyone's like, oh my God, Gordon Hayward's out. It's over.
It just means they have to use a bit more of their bench.
Brad Wanamaker. Exactly.
Or Semi Ojeleye.
You said Ojeleye. This is just how racist can Will be trying to pronounce people's names.
We're just doing one take. It's straight off the rip.
Yes, exactly. Romeo Langford. Like, you're using more of your bench. Right. And you're using more of your bench that Hayward's.
Will's
up.
Like, who else on the team has a Caucasian name?
I didn't even
Romeo
say
Langford.
I didn't even say Grant Williams. I could have gone for Grant Williams, and
right,
I didn't.
Right.
I was good.
I think the Celtics look really good. Jason Tatum has been playing out of his mind. He's averaging over 30 points a game. Jaylen Brown has been great. Kemba Walker's been great. I think their team is... they've been good all season. That's why they got the third seed. I expected more from the 76ers, but when only Embiid shows up and then Tobias Harris and Al Horford combine for like 1 for 80, essentially, with their, you know, $90 million between them for a year... They don't really have a deep enough bench. It's like,
I mean, this was the game for them to win in this third game.
To win.
I mean, they had to win. I know that, but I'm telling you, if you look at the stats, Celtics shot today 25% from three, and they still won. I mean, 76ers shot 23%, but that's what you're going to happen when you get Al Horford.
Yeah.
And Harris hasn't been that hot, and Richardson is a bit streaky. But they out-rebounded them by 12 rebounds. They got 17 more offensive rebounds, and they still lost by 8. Like, I just don't know how they win. Because the advantage they did have was always going to be the rebounding. But if you can't hit your shots, I mean, they shot...
Lots of extra
They shot 29.5% from the field. today. You're not going to win a game.
No.
In the modern
era. But who shoots for them? Who takes... Like, if there's a last shot in the game, who do you give the ball to?
You know what?
Tobias Harris?
No, but probably. to be honest, Tobias Harris, when they played the Clippers pick and roll with Tobias Harris before they traded for him, he was excellent. He was averaging 20 points a game, and then they traded for him. And what they did is they just stuck him out and said, you shouldn't throw it.
Well, yeah, we were just watching the game, and it was essentially, it's the inverse of how the Rockets play. So the Rockets have five people out.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, so that the paint is clear, right? Whereas the 76ers have four people out and just Embiid in the post playing by himself.
Dumping it into him.
Yeah. And then he passes out to a three. They don't know what they're doing. They're like, I can't shoot a three. I'm going to drive in. And then everyone's already in the paint being like, hey, we're playing zone defense. Mm. What do you think's going to happen now?
I think the way that this team is built, Tobias is going to be there. I don't see them trading Tobias. I think when they lose the next game, most likely, or maybe it goes to 4-1, I don't know. But even in when they lose this series, I can imagine Brett Brown is gone.
Yeah.
And they will make a trade to...
It's going to be Simmons or Embiid. That's the only options.
I agree. I agree. No one will take Tobias Harris or Horford. No one's taking Horford. No one's even taking
Jason Richardson.
No, to be fair, if you're going to get rid of Ben Simmons, I would try and package him with it.
Yeah, but I'm saying by themselves, you can't.
Yeah, but no, you wouldn't. I don't think you'd get rid of Simmons. I think you'd get rid of Embiid. I know that sounds controversial, but they just re-signed Simmons to a huge deal.
They both get as injured as each other.
Yeah, exactly.
I think either way, if they weren't injured, I'd say they could be the heart of a franchise, but their injuries, I don't know.
It's really sad to say because I think they squandered such... They had really good draft assets.
Yeah,
and they just stuffed up. There's always one team that stuffs
they
up.
They were one bounce away from Eastern Conference Finals, and I think they would have beaten the Bucks.
Yeah, probably.
Probably. But I think like teams that get a lot of high draft picks, it is tough because you're taking these like kind of top dog guys. And most teams have one or two good players and then a heap of shooters now. Right?
Yeah.
But you've got like two...
Non-shooters.
I want to say like two non-shooting alphas, like I want the ball in my hands all the time. Mm. It just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And that takes us to the final game in the East, which is the beneficiary of being traded out of the 76ers. Pacers and Heat. Of course, Pacers with the fourth seed, Heat the fifth. This is the biggest upset so far. It's 0-2 with the Heat up. No one ever thought it would be any other way except the Heat winning this series. It's just a really bounce scoring front between, you know, Bam, Goran Dragic, who, you know, probably going to come to the Lakers next year. Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, here first.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson, who was 7 of 8. Shooting from three. Tyler Harrow didn't play great. He was like 4 of 14 last game. But overall, they're just a really balanced team and they can score. They've got good hustle between Jay Crowder and even an old Andre Iguodala is still like a hustle player. And then you look at the Pacers and when TJ Warren is cold, Oladipo has not looked the same since he's come back.
No.
They're playing without Sabonis. Miles Turner is fine, but he's a D player.
No, Miles
Brogdon
Turner.
Is not shooting as well as he should.
I mean, 3 of 3 from three.
No,
last
but
game.
See, Miles Turner. So Miles Turner, what, 7 feet tall?
Yeah,
and he's extremely athletic, but he will not step inside the 3-point line. I don't understand why they've got him playing like that. It doesn't really make any sense to me. Like, I understand you're 100% right. Oladipo not the same. TJ Warren not playing super hot. No Sabonis, but Miles Turner is the biggest disappointment on that team, even with Oladipo, for me.
So trade him. Keep Sabonis and trade him.
Exactly.
You got to trade one of those two. I think if Pacers are going to look for a path to improvement, it has to be
trade. You know who they should trade
to?
Who? Golden State Warriors.
For Andrew Wiggins.
For who cares?
Andrew Anything. Wiggins.
Well, they need a small forward.
Picks. I don't know, for this year's pick.
For this year's pick. Because realistically, the Warriors don't need an offensive center. They just need a defensive center, and then Clay, who's a great defender, and then also Steph, who can't really defend.
Problem is going to be that salary. I don't know if they can take on that. Well, they do have a trade exception for the Iguodala trade. Yeah, they got $17 million trade exception.
There you go. So they could possible. Use that. This series
there
is
we go.
Not,
We're thinking.
Is not that interesting, to be honest. I thought it would be more exciting. It's not. I'm really excited for Heat versus Bucks. I think for me, that will be the second round matchup that I really want to see. What do we think? Do we think sweep by the Heat or?
I think the Pacers will get one.
Yeah,
I don't know which game, but they'll get one, and that'll be maybe a TJ Warren
maybe
explosion.
One of the next two.
It'll have to be the next game. It's got to be the third game, because otherwise there's no way. Like they just give up by that point.
Yeah, I guess so.
Let's head to the West.
Oh, thank God.
So
we're basically set in the East. Bucks v Heat. And Raptors v Celtics.
Yeah, and Raptors win and Bucks win. But I think sneaky pick with Heat beating Bucks. But
yeah.
I mean, you've caught it for a while, and I've said no hurry.
Yeah, I know. Well, let's see. Let's see how bad they play. The West. The most interesting series so far has definitely been Lakers Blazers.
Oh, we want to talk about this first. Okay.
Yeah, let's speak about this. It first. Okay. We can't just give favoritism here.
No, that's true.
Because we give enough. so in a shocking first game. Blazers won. They were down a couple with like 3 minutes ago. Lakers just couldn't hit threes. And then you had two threes from Dame. You had a three from Melo. You had a three from Gary Trent Jr. You had a pull-up two from CJ McCollum. Whereas Lakers were like, "What? We can't shoot in the paint. What do we do?" What really worried me is, well, even in the game where they won and it was a blowout in the second game, Blazers played so badly, but Lakers still weren't hitting their open shots. We won the second game because we were driving. Every shot was essentially in the paint, and then the third quarter AD went crazy. But we were still 20 points up at the half, right?
17, but yes, yeah, basically.
Still.
Sorry, I was counting. I was like, good, only 17 down.
So like our open looks suck, and we're the best scoring in the paint team, but will that win a series against the Clippers, against even a Houston Rockets next season? Like, series.
Shooting is going to be the Lakers' downfall, whichever series that they have. So, I mean, in this game, you won from energy and you won from AD, because LeBron didn't have to do that much.
LeBron was 10 points. I think that's what made me a bit happy about the situation. He was like 10-7, right? And if LeBron only scores 10 points, which he's done, three times in his career in the playoff, and we still win by 30...
Yeah,
essentially. That's not look at exactly.
Yeah. 23, but who's counting?
But we were up by 32 at one point after they started resting LeBron, and I just think that's a good sign for the Lakers. But if Danny Green continues to be 0 from 100, and KCP is as streaky as he is, unless they put in more minutes from J.R. Smith and Dion Waiters, Lakers are not going to be able to compete offensively.
Agree.
Portland can't shoot this badly if they're going to stay in the series. I mean, they shot 28% from three during the game. They only got 8 three-pointers, shot only 40% from the field. This is a team that's built to outpace and outscore teams. And so far in the two games, they've played the Lakers' way, which is everything is at the half court, slow down, ISO. Which we got away with in the first game because the Lakers shot poorly. If Lakers shoot 36% from three for the rest of the series, they win each game. Like, at the end of the day, it was because the Lakers shot 5 of 34 from 3 that Blazers won. Blazers need to up the pace, and they need to just shoot lights out if they're going to win. Because they're not going to defend their way to a victory. They're not going to keep the Lakers to 93 again. So they're not going to keep shooting that badly. But I agree with you, in the next series, when the Lakers do beat Portland, which I do think is going to happen, in 6 is my prediction.
Me too.
I just think the Lakers are going to run into one situation where their lack of shooting is going to hurt them, whether it's against the Rockets or the Clippers. But it's going
to
hurt them.
But I think that's when LeBron starts scoring again. At the moment, he's pass first. If LeBron goes back to what he normally is in the playoffs, which is like 30 to 40 points a game, then Lakers can win. You get 40 points from LeBron, 30 from AD.
But your supporting cast still need to be able to shoot. And Danny Green needs to wake up.
Yeah.
KCP was better, but again, KCP's streaky. He hit a couple of shots last time, but this time he could also go back to 0 from 9 like he did in the first game. They need to be more consistent. It was good Deion got some minutes. It's good J.R. Smith got some minutes, but the supporting cast need to be better.
I think you're right. They're going to struggle in the second round. I think it's a 6-game series, but after that, I think Houston has a real shot to beat them. I really do.
100%. What do you think, Luke?
What do I think? Yeah, I pretty much agree with that. I think it's interesting as well. Like, there's a lot of chatter about sort of like, say, like the Lakers, sort of who's coming off the bench and who's shooting. But like, all these teams is basically the same thing. If Damian Lillard doesn't play well, the Blazers don't win.
Yeah.
If LeBron and AD don't play well, the Lakers don't win. It's easy to kind of shit on guys like KCP or Danny Green. But at the end of the day, it's effectively LeBron and AD versus Damian Lillard and, on any other night, a rotating cast of Blazers.
Yeah.
Now with Zach Collins being out as well, that's a big loss.
Wenyen Gabriel, I'm a big fan of Wenyen.
He was actually quite good. Decent.
They seem to always have more guys coming up. I just think, I agree, in 6 the Lakers will win. But I do think it kind of shows, I mean, obviously the Lakers finished the number one seed, right? But how good are they? I think that's kind of always been a bit of a
question.
But also,
how good are the Blazers? Like, Blazers shouldn't be in
8
seed. How
good are any of the teams? That's the thing. I don't know that any team this year has been like, oh, wow, they're clearly the best team.
Except for the Bucks.
Except for the Bucks.
Who at one point...
I mean, they lost the series to Miami.
Yeah, that's true. I guess what I mean is, like, I don't think when the season before the bubble, anyway, I don't think anyone was like, wow, the Lakers are so good, they're like irresistibly good, or even the Clippers. Like,
I mean, they were on a hot streak, the Lakers. Yeah, no, people,
they were winning, but like,
yeah. No, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah. There is no clear cut favorite this year. Even the Clippers, the way they play,
it could be this is the best year for teams on the periphery, like a Toronto Raptors, or even like a Celtics,
yeah,
or even a Mavs, really, to cause like an upset.
Oh yeah, big time.
So the game that's currently going on at the moment is Clippers-Mavs. It's one apiece at the moment. Probably when you hear this, it'll be... Well, it will definitely be 2-1.
2-1 to someone. We don't know
how quickly we're getting it out.
The game may never finish.
Yeah.
This series for me is the most exciting series. Because it's kind of what you said before, Luke. Like, Paul George had a terrible game. They lost the game. Mm-hmm. Kawhi had a great game. It was 31 points last game. But I actually think they match up really well. And I think Luka and Porzingis... have been playing really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the supporting cast last game, Tim Hardaway Jr. and Seth Curry, were fantastic. But I don't know. I actually, unless Marcus Morris steps up, unless Montrez and Lou Williams step up, I actually can see the Clippers losing this series.
Or it goes to 7. And that's obviously not a good result. Like,
yeah. I mean, I just had a breath. Look, Pat Bev being out is big. Sure. Like, I don't think we can misrepresent how important he is to that team defensively.
He's the Avery Bradley of the Clippers.
Yeah.
Just want to put it out there.
No, you just want to say that.
Yeah.
No, him being out is really important because Reggie Jackson is not a great defender and not a great shooter, but he's a decent, you know, coming off the bench, he can run a second unit.
Mm-hmm.
The problem for them as well, especially in the last game, if you watched it, God, Paul George was bad. He was really poor.
Yes, and he had the big ice packs on the shoulders after the game.
Exactly. And so if Paul George is not the Paul George that came third in MVP voting last year, the Clippers look average.
Yeah, but he's not normally going to have a game like he had. He's been playing really well in the bubble so far. I actually think that was an anomaly opposed to...
I just think the injury stuff with him as well is super interesting. I don't know if you saw the thing with him and Damian Lillard on Instagram probably like a week ago now.
The fight
on there. I do think like... As soon as, like, it does seem... I'm not sure it's chicken and egg, right? It seems as sort of... He plays a bad game. He's all iced up. Yeah. And it's kind of like, yeah, is there something going on with him still? I mean, he'd have surgery on both his shoulders. It would make me worried if I was a Clippers fan.
It's like the Paul Pierce being wheeled out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And then just making triumphant return. We love that.
Yeah, and I think it's also a matter of chemistry. I really think, like, the Mavs, their chemistry is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
The way they pass the ball around, like, they're always kicking it out in, like... generally to an open person, whereas I feel like Clippers don't have that chemistry. It's a lot of ISO ball, which, oh, yeah. I mean, that's not how... You need a 30-assist team to win. That's how the Golden State Warriors literally won all their games. Yeah, they had KD playing ISO. Yeah, they had Curry. But Klay Thompson took, like, 11 dribbles, scored 60 points. Like, that's the type of team dynamic that you want.
In terms of personnel, I mean, the Clippers win this because of just... they should win.
It's the on paper issue, like the 76ers. Yeah. On paper, this should be a finals team, but in reality, something's just not clicking.
Yeah, I agree.
I Paul George just needs to be better. That's,
yeah,
and then
sure,
get
and
Pat
that's
Bev
to your point
back.
About clicking. As soon as your best players start playing well, all that stuff doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't, yeah.
Can I just say, I really think Mavs should be down 2-0 because if Porzingis wasn't ejected in the first game for the ridiculous.
So that should be up 2-0.
Yeah, they should be up. Because, like, the ridiculous second technical against Marcus Morris, like, the softest thing I've ever heard, and it literally changed the game.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'd be up 2-0 against...
The Clips.
Yeah. And that's a phenomenal...
I don't want to put, like, a bold call out there, but I have never rated Doc Rivers as a coach.
Whoa.
I'm sorry. I know that is
so
really big to say.
Did you call it a bold call or a bold call?
A bold call.
Bold call. With Sejulum Ojemale.
I thought it was a joke about Doc Rivers being bald and you were going to... It was a bold
was
call.
I'm pretty sure he won a championship, though, in 2008.
He's been coaching for, like, 20 years and won once. I mean, I don't know.
And he's had very good teams.
Yeah, exactly. It's like kind of like... I mean, you could argue that about a lot of... You could say the same thing about Phil Jackson. But, like... Why don't you think he's a good coach?
Because he's only won once in 20
just
years.
Just the record, not anything.
I think his record isn't that great, and I think with that team that they've got, like,
well,
he's got no excuses. He's actually got no excuses.
But it's the same with Lob City. Like,
yeah,
that team on paper,
but that's a coach's job.
That's true.
Yeah,
and how they never made the conference finals, I don't know. Look, if they don't make the conference finals this year, I could see Doc getting fired.
Yeah, he probably gets fired. He's got a very gravelly voice as well. I don't like that.
We're not trying to shit on Doc here.
No. He's actually a very nice guy. But what do we think the prediction for this series?
I still have Clippers to win, but I'm going to say it goes to 7.
Yep.
I also, mine's 4-3 Clippers. The series that I'm a bit surprised about is Denver and Utah. Utah won this morning, so they're up 2-1. Mike Connolly's back after the second child that he's had. Same as Fred VanVleet. Ghost has a kid and suddenly he can shoot again. He was 7 of 8 from 3. He was 9 of 12.
This is the Mike Connolly they traded for.
That is actually obscene. I don't know, but I don't know about you guys.
Kids.
But Utah have really impressed me. Donovan Mitchell has been fantastic. The 57-point game was crazy. But and the second two games, where he's scoring about 30 points. Gobert is taking like 11 shots, hitting 9 or 10 of them. So he's 20 points. Mike Conley's an extra 20 points. The Jordan Clarkson off the bench has been good.
If there's any team that matches up well against Denver, it is Utah. Because it's the reliance on the big, but then it's also kind of stopping Jokic in the paint, which forces him out playing point.
They couldn't even play Michael Porter Jr. to start the second half because Utah were playing so well offensively. Like, we can't have a shit defender. And then they had no point of offense except like Jeremy Grant.
To be fair, in this game as well, you got 16 points out of George's Niang. Like, you're not really expecting that. I mean, Jordan Clarkson getting 20, that makes sense. George's Niang going for 16, you probably don't expect that. But
it wasn't a close game.
Yeah, it was.
They was lost like by like points. 30. Yeah. Yeah. 37
points.
37 points.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. But to be fair, Utah shot 49% from three. Like,
are you saying that won't happen every game?
I don't want to say that's not going to happen every game, but for Denver to shoot 30% from three and Utah to shoot 49% from
three. Well, they only shot 49% because of Mike
Conley. But don't you think it's a bit of a common theme, right? Like, it happens year after year where you talk about shooting. Talk about shooting every game. But like, that is the difference maker. Yeah, I can't really say that. You know, it's like, oh, this team played great defense, therefore they shot poorly. Some days people just seem to get up on the wrong side of the bed and they shoot 25% or less.
I mean, the thing that we haven't talked about with Denver, they are missing two key players, Will Barton and Gary Harris.
Yeah, it makes a huge difference.
Would you say Gary Harris the key player?
Yes,
defensively, he'd be marking Donovan.
On Donovan Mitchell, if he holds Donovan to 15 points a game, it's a different series.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And Will Barton provides the offense and can defend a little bit, which is better than Michael Porter.
Jokic has been good. Jamal Murray, again, playoffs, so he disappears. But, you know...
5 of 16 today.
Paul Millsap is a year older. He's not doing anything. Torrey Craig can't do any offense.
Paul Millsap will be gone next year, though. He'll be gone next year, Millsap.
Yeah, 100%.
Or he'll resign. He's got a one-year option. Yeah.
Or he'll resign on something much smaller than $30 million.
No, but why keep him?
Why get less than $30 million?
Look, I think with this series, I was surprised. I really thought Denver would win it.
So
at the moment, for me, it seems like a six-game series, 4-2.
I think this goes to 7. And
it should go to 7, but it depends if Denver steps up. Like...
Denver on paper Malone
really
for me,
has to.
Denver for me on paper are better than Utah. I would still say Denver in 7, but this now looks.
I don't know if Mike Conley continues to play like this, and the next two games he plays like he did tonight, it's all over.
Mm.
Like there's no chance.
True. That's true.
The last matchup, which everyone was also excited for so far, has been really quite bad. Is Rockets OKC? Rockets are up 2-0. They've just blown OKC out the water without Russell Westbrook as well. Paul hasn't been as normally as good as he has been. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had a good second game but was bad first game. Small ball is working. They're hitting their shots. They're spreading the floor. And even without Russ, like, it hasn't been close games at all. I really thought this was going to be a 7-game series with OKC winning. I've watched OKC, and as Will has pointed out to me many a time, Dort is just not someone that you can rely on as your third scorer. But I
don't blame everything on Dort. Dort didn't even play the first game.
Houston were fantastic yesterday as well. Like, they just played, even without Harden having a huge game, like, they didn't need him to, because Jeff Green's been great off the bench. Austin Rivers has been great off the bench. They're hitting their shots. Daniel House Jr. is fantastic.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm surprised by the Rockets. I didn't expect them to be this good, but it's kind of nice to see them finally succeeding.
I think the series will tighten up a little bit. I still think the Rockets will win in 6, but I think OKC will get a couple of wins. Chris Paul can't play as badly as he did in the second game. No. Like, he's just not going to. Stephen Adams, I mean, he's still... I mean, defensively, out of any centre, he doesn't get totally destroyed by the way that the Rockets play.
Yeah.
The Rockets are just hitting their shots. Like, I'm not expecting Jeff Green to be as hot as he has been, but he's been very good. Like, their bench has been positive, and that's without Ross. The player that's been bad on the Rockets, the only one, is Eric Gordon. He's the only one not hitting his shots. Mm.
I think it's the name Eric. Eric Bledsoe, Eric Gordon... Eric Paschal.
It's a cursed name.
Yes. But I think the problem is as we've been saying the whole time, for the OKC Thunder, the reason they had a good kind of regular season is Chris Paul has been amazing, but also the supporting cast has been better than we thought they would be. But in this series, in playoffs, maybe this is when they get found out a little bit, because... I'm sorry, I just don't trust Dennis Schroeder. I don't trust
Gallinari. Gallinari is a reliable mid-range shooter.
Yeah, he's reliable. But I mean, I think there's always a little bit of an element of like the, remember the We Believe Warriors, that kind of dynamic where it's like, we've done it just by making the playoffs. Like, there was the thing of like, they had a 0.2% chance of making it. And I think there is a mentality of like, we did it. Yeah. And now we're in the first round. Like, not who gives a shit almost, but like, we just kind of really don't care. Yeah, but
they don't have the guy. Like, if you're relying on Chris Paul to be the guy, Chris Paul has never been the guy to take any team to go.
And Shea's what? His third year?
Third year.
Second year. So you can't expect him to lead the team.
I think
realistically, this series should have been for them. This is what we have to prove. This was the trade that everyone laughed at.
Sure.
If they win this series and then also have, you know, 10 million draft picks. I've been very disappointed.
I mean, for them as well, last game, when you have James Harden shoot 10 of 11 and Eric Gordon goes 0 from 10 from 3 and to still get... So 2 of 11. That James makes Harden. Yeah, sorry. 2 of 11 and Eric went 0 from 10.
Yeah.
And for them to still lose... I mean, James Harden hasn't even had to go supernova yet.
No.
And they're still winning relatively comfortable. It's and crazy. They're winning with their defense.
I think it's also Steven Adams. Like, he should be demolishing in the paint. Like, the pick and roll should just be every day of the week. Anyway, it's been a depressing series so far. Next episode, I'm sure, we'll speak about what ended up happening.
Rockets in 6.
Yeah. Yeah. Draft lottery. So the draft happened yesterday. And yet again, New York Knicks. And they had such a good chance of a top 4 pick. And now their 8th pick. The unlikely winner, the Minnesota Timberwolves. Who would have thought it?
I mean, they did have the...
Second worst or third worst?
They were one of the worst. They had the worst. It's like the three worst teams have the best percentage odds of getting the number one pick, right?
So it was them, Golden State, and Cavs.
Yeah. I mean, I think there's like a bigger point though about like the usefulness of a number one pick in an NBA draft. I don't know. I mean, I don't really know that they're like... Is it a massive advantage? Like who are they taking at number one? They couldn't have gotten it.
This is the one year that you're like...
The Zion draft is very different.
Oh, God, yeah. But
top two mattered last year.
Top two mattered last year for sure. But I guess my point is, like, once you're, you know, outside, if you're outside the top three or four in most years, I think, because these guys play 1 year at college, right?
Yeah.
The window into how good they are is so small, and that's why you get, like, a Markelle Fultz that just doesn't work out. Mm. You have really no... insight on a lot of these guys. So I don't really think there is much science to saying, like, if we can take someone at one, we'll know heaps more. Like, you know, we're getting a much better guy than we're going to get at 6 or 12 or whatever.
Yeah.
I think this is the year that it's not
as valuable. It wouldn't matter. So do you think they'll keep it?
No, I think they're
trading. Do you see anyone trading out of it?
I think we spoke... I mean, I messaged you yesterday as soon as this happened, and I had a trade idea, which is Golden State trading down, New York trading up, and because New York have got this fascination with LaMelo... So what they do is they trade the second pick for the 8th pick and someone like a Mitchell Robinson, who Golden State need, and Golden State still get the 8th pick, and New York get their star player to sit alongside Barrett.
Yeah, I think with this draft,
170 points scored on them every single game.
Yes.
I think this draft, it's like, I think the real winners are Boston getting that 14th pick. It's really like. Any of these picks 5 to 14, you could get a golden nugget in any of them.
Yeah.
I think this is similar to like what was the Malcolm Brogdon year? 2016?
Yeah,
right. People are saying this is similar to the Giannis year. Because the Giannis year was number one pick was Anthony Bennett.
Oh jeez. That's a good player right there.
And then Giannis was the 15th or 16th
year. Yeah, he's a late round pick. But I think the the word lottery is, this is really what the NBA draft is. It's not like something like, I don't know, like the NFL, where you guys are playing 3 or 4 years at a college and you really see a history of progression. These guys play 1 year. And like a James Wiseman played like, what, 1 or 2 games? Yeah. And now he's going to be, what, the second pick?
Yeah.
Like, crazy. Really?
So who do
assume,
we...
Okay, let's
who
assume...
Are we, who are we thinking here?
Assume that they don't trade it. What I was going to say is, like, instead of who we're picking, because...
What do they need?
What do they need? What does Minnesota need? Alongside D'Angelo and...
They need someone that can defend. They need a defender on the team.
Mm. So like, you go shooting guard that can defend, basically.
Yeah.
So you're going to take Edwards. I mean, that would be the guy I'd take.
Mm. Yeah.
All right, then what does Golden State need?
Golden State need a center. They don't really have a center at the moment. So they
could take Wiseman.
Yeah. I think that works. They need a defensive first center. They don't really need someone that's an offensive threat. They need a Bogut. Essentially, Bogut was perfect fit in that team, surrounded by shooters.
Mm-hmm.
It's like it's great.
Yeah.
It's like what 76ers are trying to do, except without the shooters and without the defense.
Or you just play Draymond at center.
No, well, yeah, but they can go small ball against Houston, like that mentality. I think like realistically for Golden State, they should try and trade and just get an established like more veteran type of center.
Oh, and yeah. Tyson Chandler-esque, some would say.
Yeah, it's Tyson
Chandler.
Is he available? Yeah, I think, I mean, obviously, if they do take the pick, I think they'd probably take Wiseman. Honestly, if no one wants to trade
Golden State.
I could see them even taking LaMelo and then trying to trade him after they've picked him.
Yeah, package him with Andrew Wiggins.
If I was going to state, I would just trade down.
Yeah, you trade down, but my point is they could still take the pick and then trade afterwards for, as you say, a big guy. I don't know, so they're trying to win now. I don't think if you were a young player you'd want to be on, well, you would want to be young Golden State because they might win, but also like from a team's perspective,
yeah,
you're not getting much.
They'd rather get a more veteran guy. I don't think there's any point.
Yeah. Okay, then we're going to talk about Charlotte getting the third pick.
They need everything except Devontae Graham, who's a point guard, shooting guard.
Because James Wiseman, I think, would fit quite well for them.
Anyone would fit with
them.
They
literally have no center.
I don't think it matters who they take. As long as they get someone good.
Exactly.
To say, but like, they just have to get someone who works.
This is the highest pick they've had in a couple of years. So they really need to just...
They need it.
Yeah.
Chicago.
So I guess if everyone above them takes their picks, I suppose LaMelo could fall to Chicago, and I don't think it would be a terrible...
I mean, I could see LaMelo going to Charlotte.
Oh, I feel bad for him.
I mean, him and Devontae Graham as the backcourt, though. Like, again, I don't know. He could. I guess he could. But depending on how the stuff above shakes out, he could still be available at 4.
I think Chicago, Kobe White is their point guard. I think he's a good, young, developing player. They've got Zach LaVine. They've got Lauri Markkanen.
Yeah, but LaVine, do you think he'll still be there? I mean, I'm kind of assuming that he's going to leave very soon. Because he's not happy there.
Well, they'll get a new coach. Things are changing.
Let's say hypothetically they keep their team. They've got Wendell Carter as well.
The only position of need is, because he's so injured all the time, is Otto Porter Jr. playing small forward.
Man. Yeah, that's where LaMelo fits in perfectly.
Well, I was going to say Denny Avdija.
Oh, the Israeli.
Who can play small forward or power forward. Laurie-esque.
Yeah.
Can play small forward.
I mean, works out better than Laurie, who's always injured.
What's happened to Laurie?
He was so good last year, and then just trash. Cleveland, yet again with the 5th pick. They draft so badly.
They don't need point guards. They've gone too many point guards.
They need more point guards.
They're at Garland.
If you just keep taking them, eventually one of them will work out.
And Porter Jr.
And they've also got Tristan Thompson and Andre Drummond and also Kevin Love. Like, what is this team?
It's a nothing team.
Surely at this point you just...
It's just a team you're putting out in the court. I mean, just blow it up. But like, again, does it really matter?
It sounds like they need like a small forward.
Yeah, but I mean like... It sort of sounds bad to say. It's a bit like Charlotte. It's like, really, who cares? They need
just take,
they need
yeah, take stuff. Whoever.
Take what? Take best available, whichever position they play.
Okay, Atlanta.
Atlanta, I don't know what they should do, because I actually thought their team would be good this season and it's trash. They need. They probably need a shooting guard who can defend.
Yep, that's it. Shooting guard who can defend or facilitate, because they're so reliant on Trae Young that when he goes off the court, there is no offense.
Yeah.
So they need another guard there who can
get his own shot.
Correct.
Yeah.
And can facilitate the offense. They just need a guard.
Yeah.
Detroit. I think that goes back to what we said. Anyone.
Charlotte.
Best available.
Except center. Like, I feel as though if they keep
Chris. Isn't it Chris?
No, not Marcus Christie. He plays for Golden
Chris
State.
Chris Wood.
Chris Wood. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, Chris Wood.
I knew what I was saying.
Yeah, I was like...
Okay, I didn't say Chris it confidently up. Enough. I should have said it more.
Just Chris.
It's Chris, boys. We got Chris.
Yeah, so other than centre, if they keep Chris Wood, I would go for anything else.
Anything. But again, this is like... But this draft becomes so stupid. It's like we're only into pick 7 and it's just like, just take whatever you can.
Well, no, to be fair, we started doing that at pick 5.
Yeah. Hypothetically, with Detroit, if Blake Griffin is healthy and if Derrick Rose resigns, then you're okay. Then you're okay in those two positions.
Derrick Rose is still contracted for this year, isn't he?
Yeah.
2 years?
Yeah, it was a 2 year deal.
I mean, he's probably trying to get out of the deal.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's just trying to get traded.
I mean, he seemed like he had a good time last year.
A good time.
Good time in Detroit.
I'm not sure it's where anyone wants to live, but anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, he used to live in Chicago and New York and stuff. I think he's probably looking to get down to Miami. It's nice.
Well, he's the one who signed that contract.
I think he... $10 million.
Lakers? Maybe.
New York at 8. I think they'll trade up. I think they trade up.
They have to.
Because they can't get
any. You know what they should trade? A power forward. Because I don't know if you know this. They've got about 50 of them, and they traded the only one that was meant to be good.
One plus ones.
One plus ones.
That's right. But they're team options.
Yes.
So they're not picking those up.
So, I mean, realistically, they re-sign Julius Randle. They get rid of all the other power forwards.
Oh, God. Julius Randle's the only one who's not on a 1 plus 1. Yeah, he's on a 2 plus 1.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's still on a two plus contract. One. And he's on the biggest contract. He's on like 3 years, 60 mil or something.
I even forgot about Julius Randle.
Really?
Isn't that...
He was good. He was 20 and 10 most of the season.
Yeah, but it's Julius.
He's getting all
he
the
can't
shots.
Defend.
He's taking all the shots.
Yeah. He's taking all the shots.
New York need a point guard, a shooting guard, a small forward, and a centre.
Well, hold on. Barrett's going to play one of those positions.
Mitchell Robinson, I rate.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about RJ Barrett.
And they got RJ Barrett.
Did he even get... He didn't get nominated for Rookie of the Year.
No. I mean, look, okay, so I think if they don't trade Mitch Robinson, I like Mitch Robinson.
I also like him.
I like him.
He can't do much.
He can't do much, but I like him. Randall's your power forward. RJ Barrett plays either shooting guard or small forward. Doesn't really matter. If they do trade up and they get a LaMelo, that's probably... If they don't trade up, they might as well just trade away.
They'll still be shit, though.
That's the point. The point is...
They'll be less shit.
If they've got the number one pick...
They go for LaMelo.
They get Melo. Like, it doesn't matter. They're still going to be shit. Even if they take... They're going to be shit.
They get Edwards or LaMelo.
Maybe they'll get Zion Williamson. They'll just try and redraft the 2019 draft and hope for the best.
They get Anthony Edwards. You think of their trade-up?
Yeah, maybe. Well, no, I still think they go for Ball because I like the name.
They might get Cole Anthony. I guess if he's probably...
Cole Anthony has really slipped in some of the
I know,
the
but that's why New York will take him. That's exactly the reason you take him.
He's going to be Kevin Knox-esque, Luke.
Do we bother with the rest of them?
Yeah, let's...
All right.
Washington.
Biggest losers in the draft, number 9.
They need a power forward and a small forward.
No, they don't. They got Rui.
Oh, Hachimura. So they need a small forward. Done. Look, John Wall's going to be back and healthy next season. Thomas Bryant is...
You think he's going to be back and healthy?
He's going to be back.
I don't know. Bradley Beal's... If the season doesn't start off well and they're not in playoff contention by 20th game, they probably trade one of them. Which would have to be Bradley Beal.
Man, they're going to be in playoff contention. They've been like 35 games. So
they were in playoff contention this year with
If they can't win like mid-30s games with Beal, Wall...
But surely Beal wants out.
Of course he wants out, but like he's also getting $36 million a year.
Right? He's the one who resigned. So,
he's getting 2 years.
I think he actually, to be fair, out of all the cities we're talking about, DC is livable.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's livable.
It's very livable, but I guess my point is like I just they're another team that you could, as we said before, you could blow it up, or they take someone here and it's just like nice, we've got the 9th best guy in the draft.
But to be fair,
they could trade the pick.
You could get the best guy.
I reckon you trade this pick and you go down. I think that's that.
For two
random picks later rounds. Because like realistically, the 9th pick.
I don't know. I think they definitely pick here. I don't know what small forward they get here. If Avija's off the.
It really doesn't matter.
Devin Vassell.
Maybe,
but like honestly.
Or Isaac Okoro. Anywho, I don't know any of these guys that well. Phoenix.
I don't think they really need anyone. They went 8-0 without Kelly Oubre Jr. and Aaron Baines. I actually thought last year when they started the season they were good. They dropped off a cliff when they had injuries. I think they really don't need much. It's just padding out the bench a bit more.
I think they need a backup point guard. Like someone who can learn off Rubio, because Rubio's on a 3 year deal.
Yeah.
If they can get another facilitator, I would go for that.
If you're going to take it. I know obviously a rookie coming in is going to be a backup point guard, but like, picking at 10, again, I'm not like, oh, let's get a backup point guard. Like, it's kind of like, it's too high a pick to be a guy sitting on the bench, surely, no?
But well, I don't see them starting anyone, because you've got Rubio starting, Booker, you're going to have Oubre Jr., power forward's going to be...
Dario.
Yeah, and then center's already done.
Their team, I don't know, I don't rate Saric, but like, yeah, and then center was obviously taken care of, but like...
And Saric was coming off the bench. Who was starting for them? They had someone else.
Was it Baines?
No, Mikal Bridges?
Mikal Bridges, yeah. Who's actually quite good.
Who's been quite good. I don't think they're actually... I think backup point guard, if they was going to...
Trade the pick down. I mean, someone's going to pick up... I mean, I don't know what you're going to get for these picks. Like, you're going to get a second round pick.
Maybe they can get like $50 on a washing machine. It's better.
It's literally going to be that. It's going to be something like that. Who wants these picks?
San Antonio. At 11. Not guards. I think they've got enough of them.
They need to get someone to replace
LaMarcus
Aldridge.
They need power forward.
Yeah, they need power forward.
Okay,
I like Rudy Gay, but he's also a center.
Rudy Gay's getting old as well.
Yeah, they're both very old. Sacramento. Literally, I don't know what's going on with that team.
They got bigger problems.
They got bigger. Like the draft.
Not shooting guard, because they're going to have two very highly paid shooting guards, both. Starting quality, I don't know.
If Marvin Bagley plays more than 3 games in a season, maybe someone from him.
They don't need a center.
I'm telling you, this year they'll pick someone good, because they've had nice high picks and they've absolutely flunked out on them. So now at, what are they,
12?
12. They're going to get someone great this year, mark my words.
Okay, there we go.
Franchise
Luke's calling it. I actually look at their team. There's no position. Anyone. No. The best available talent.
Yeah.
New Orleans. I think that they probably need a center. Because if JJ Redick resigns, there's your shooting guard.
No, but they've got...
isn't he more than 1 year deal?
I'm pretty sure. I thought it was just 1 year.
Mm. No, it was 2 years. 2 years.
Okay. But either way, Josh Hart is a good backup shooting guard.
Jackson Hayes is their backup center, though.
But who's their center? Derek Favors?
Yeah. I just re-signed Favors.
Yeah. So then what do they need? Nothing.
Best available talent.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a cop out.
Okay, Boston, fine. If we're going to say it, then center then.
Yeah.
Sure.
Center, Boston. Fine.
Big man.
Need a center.
Yeah.
Because they're going to get rid of these.
And his camera's on a 2 year deal as well. I'm pretty sure he did another. I don't think it has an option.
Yeah, but he can't be their starting centre.
No, but he's still there. Tyus, yeah. I mean, whatever you want to do with him, he's not a centre. I agree. They need a big centre. Yeah.
If I was Boston, maybe trade out of this pick. Like, trade two of your first rounders.
What about Miles Turner?
Yeah.
Miles Turner could work on that team. They don't really need the offence. They've got Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Kemba.
I would trade all three of your first rounders and get Miles Turner.
That's fantastic.
I would absolutely. I would do that.
That puts him straight into the Eastern Conference Finals.
Harry is calling it.
Look, they're third seed now, right?
Yep.
Hypothetically, next year the Raptors are a year older. They're probably not going to be, besides like Siakam OJ and whatever his name that we called him before.
I wouldn't trade all three. I would probably trade two.
You trade two and like
Watermaker. Honestly, trade all three.
It's also
what we're talking about here, tell me, like from this season, from the past season of college basketball, which seems like a long time ago now, tell me who the standout players were. And I'm not a religious follower of college basketball, but like, I don't know anyone past.
No,
like,
March Madness was really good this year.
That's my point.
Because it was cancelled.
Yeah, but like, so seriously though, like, who knows any of these guys? So trade all the picks. Who cares?
And also for Boston, what's your end game? You want to re-sign Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum when it comes to that
Jaylen
time?
Jaylen Brown's already re-signed.
Done.
So you want Tatum?
Yep. Well, Tatum's going to resign. He's going to resign. He can't. Okay. He's restricted anyway. He's going to get a max contract.
But what I'm saying is, you're looking to the future of these players. They have quite a few good years in them. You want them to stay in playoff the time.
So it's either center or Gordon Hayward is going to come off contract. That the money is going to get replaced by Tatum.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you need someone to replace Hayward, which means you're looking for a power forward.
Look, also, I think this year they didn't draft so well, but historically they draft well. So I also trust them with a 14th pick.
Is it Langford their pick this year?
It's fine.
Didn't they get Wanamaker as well this year?
No, he's a veteran.
Is he?
He's just quite old, actually. Yeah.
Oh my god!
He's not a rookie. Let's find out.
Oh my goodness! He looks very old.
I thought he was.
He must be like a G League player. That's like.
Oh really?
I reckon, because I've never heard of him before this season.
But now you can't stop.
Well, you can't even. Why didn't you just type in Brad Watermaker?
No, Harry. We're gonna do it this way.
You were literally.
No.
You googled the Boston Celtics.
He googled Boston Celtics.
31.
31.
He's 31.
When did he come to the league?
2011. He was drafted. Oh my god.
Oh my goodness.
All right,
but he's
been undrafted in 2011.
Did anyone know this before this?
No.
Averaged 3.9 points per game last year, but shot 41% from three.
I didn't even know he played last year.
Games. I mean,
but that's last year.
Yeah, wow.
That's not this year. Games.
Look, we
this
don't
year
even
I think
know.
Every game.
We don't even know. We don't even know when the draft is happening. The season's meant to start in December. It's all up in the air.
Oh yeah.
It'll be interesting. We've got round two in our next podcast, so we will keep you updated with that. But any final words before we piss off for today?
No, Harry.
Okay.
I just wish Romeo Langford well.
Thanks, Will.
All the best.
Luke, thanks for joining us. Make sure to like and subscribe, as all of our thousands of listeners do. Millions? Would we say millions? Trillions?
We're cresting towards millions.
Yeah, yes. Wow.
Some would call it exponential growth. I call it logarithmic.
We'll see you guys in 2 weeks for the second round of the playoffs. Did you call back?